Well, Commissioner, I've learned that you're the most influential man with the EU Commission in Brussels. You were talking about your strive to reach a digital unity in Europe. But if you look on from a higher place on this field, it seems to me like a clash of civilizations. It's like talking about regulation seems to me like a European thing. And total liberalization on the digital field is what the Americans want. Is there a compromise thinkable between those schools of thinking, having a completely free market without regulation, and on the other hand, a highly regulated market as you and your plan is?
Maybe we have a different culture. In the US, all is allowed, what is not forbidden. In Europe, all is forbidden, what is not allowed. So we need in Europe some regulation, but less regulation. Maybe in last 20 years, we have been more and more over-regulated. But what is my main concern? We have 28 different regulations. So to have one regulation on a European level means to have less bureaucracy. As an example again, data protection regulation. If there are 28 different levels for data protection, maybe the highest in Germany and a lower one in the Mediterranean, then anybody from outside will go to this member state with the lowest level. Same with taxation. Take Ireland, Dublin. Why Dublin is so interesting for US companies? Maybe it's the language, maybe it's the history, but it's namely a lower level of taxation and attractive low levels for data protection. But there is no Irish market, no German market, no Bavarian market. There is one open European market with online shopping, with data exports and imports throughout the EU and global-wide. And so we need one level, and one level on a European dimension means to have less bureaucracy, to have a clear order, and so to come back to an European authority which will be accepted from everybody from outside the EU.
Let's talk about European wealth. The digital revolution started with the media business, and now it reaches major industries like cars. You talked about BMW and Mercedes, banks, assurances. What does it mean? Are these big German and European companies, are they prepared for the next step of digital revolution?
I think so, yes. And the Hanover, the industry fair, since 2 years' time, speaks about Industry 4.0. It's a new dimension. In the past, it was a competition between IT companies, and we lost. Europe lost. Okay, we have SAP and we have Ericsson and some others and some entrepreneurs and startups and mid-sized companies, but looking to the 50 biggest IT companies, 31 coming from the US, just 7 from Europe, we lost the game in the IT sector. And now we come to the whole economy, to the industry, to the real economy. Now our companies as ABB, Siemens, BASF, Bayer, LANXESS, BMW, VW, Audi, Daimler are coming into the game. Who will build cars in the next decade? Is it Google or is it BMW? Or is it BMW with Google?
Wonderful scenario for BMW.
Who is in lead? No, it's a dangerous and challenging situation. Now it's just the whole economy. Or take a bank. Sorry. Why don't we need banks in the main street in Munich? Do you need a daily bank? Me not. I need banking services. But online or by automation. And so I'm sure the financial sector will have the same revolution, the insurance sector, the same revolution. It's industry and services, it's the whole economy. And so we need clear strategies how to survive, how to be in the driver's seat, how to be in lead, how to hold all parts of the value chain for working places in our European Union.
Many experts fear that this process puts a big danger on jobs. There are some horror scenarios of how many jobs it will cost the European economies this digitalization process. One speaker yesterday said, Mr. Keane said that there is a big danger that we lose good work in general, and that we only have very rich people and very poor people. And will that be your scenario, or where is the chance? Because the European economies were always in balance. And is this balance in danger? Is social balance in danger?
We are in a revolution, and revolutions are changing the market and the world, and the labor market as well. And the factory of today can't survive in next decade without being a part of the revolution. Digital communication, automation plus digital services, electrotechnical industries, manufacturing plus digital services. There is a convergence between these sectors, and so we have to develop clear strategies for our industries, namely for our mid-sized companies, for to survive. And at the end of the day, maybe 50% of the working places are gone, but 50% new working places inside the factory and outside, software generation and so on, will start. And so we need skills, we need human competence, we need education, we need qualification. And we have one problem here in Germany. The German citizens are the oldest global wide. The Japanese in parallel. Nobody is elder than the Germans are. It's wonderful to live 80, 90, 100 years. But Germany is 45 years old. That's our average, 45. The US, they are 38 years old. So they have 7 years more digital natives. So we have to learn more than US guys. And so qualification, human qualification is key. We need in our EU, year by year, additional 150,000 IT specialists. But it's not just the IT specialist, it's everybody. The entrepreneur, the CEO, the politician. We all have to learn how to use new technologies. And then we can survive, but we have to change our daily work.
In the country, in the state where you were prime minister some years ago, a coalition of a green prime minister and a social democrat who ruled together, they imposed economy and career at the schools. How do you comment that? Isn't that the right thing, that always our industry representatives claimed always for years and years for this step, and now it was a green and red coalition imposing that?
Green and red is quite okay for some years, and it's ending in 2016.
So do you think that this should place in that this measure should take place in all over Germany or Europe, that to begin to educate our children in economy and even digital economy, to begin with the children and not with the students?
No, I agree totally. We have in our schools many interesting things, mathematics, But economy is not really a part of our education of kiddies. They have to learn how to come into the labor market. They have to learn how to survive with 1,000 euro a month. They have to learn investments, risks, and the whole economy. And so I think to speak about real economy, to speak about digital economy, to be about our labor market, to speak about our market-based society is a must for everybody who is leaving our schools for to be competitive in next 45 years.
Okay. Talking about regulation, European regulation means at the end talking about Google. Google is dominating more or less the whole value chain of production. 80% of the mobile devices run on Android. The Chrome browser has a market share of around 50%. In search, it's 95% here in Europe. Do you think that Google's control over the value chain and the distribution channels is a threat for the digital ecosystem?
Firstly, I have deep respect about the founders of Google, about the idea, about the development in the last 15 years, about their market share in the US and global wide. And I don't think that to develop a state-owned European Google would be a good idea. But Google has to accept our European rules. And we need a clear announcement to them, what are our European rules? And a platform has to be objective and neutral. And so we have some cases with or against Google, but not to destroy Google in any manner, but to bring Google on a legal way, which is our European legal understanding of the markets and of a level playing field between the competitors. And last point, we will invite Google to speak about copyright, because it's my interest to involve them in a fair manner. And at the end, Google has to accept if and when we will have a European copyright for our intellectual products and services,
property,
for our intellectual owners. And therefore, we need a balanced regulation for all involved stakeholders, and at the end of the value chain for Google as well.
Your colleague, she's called Vestager, is currently investing into Google with the aim to restore fair search. Do you think that this approach has a chance?
Yes, I think. Look to the Microsoft case some years ago. The Commission has a high level of authority looking to competition rules and concrete cases. And last February, there was an offer from Google for a compromise to finish the case, but I think it was not really convincing. And so we got from all our European industries and from our publishers associations clear additional arguments, and now we are continuing, coming deeper and deeper, and I hope to come to a balanced decision mid of this year. But Google has to bring more offers to us, must be ready for a really convincing compromise. Then we can finish the case, if not, not.
At the end, your personal prediction on that Audi and BMW and Mercedes thing. Who will build the next car? Will it be BMW itself, or will the software come from Silicon Valley and the hardware from China and Europe is out?
I'm sure that our German and European car producers are strong enough, are flexible enough, are ambitious enough for to be in lead in next decades. There's an interesting development. car producers and car services, they have so many dates via our cars, and to use these dates with us, and to develop clear rules how to store these dates and how to sell these dates with new services is one of the challenging questions, and therefore I think we need a European cloud and a clear European strategy with our industries. It's an interesting public-private challenge. And if we work together, policymakers and our industries, then I'm sure they will survive and will be in lead for mobility for a long term.
You end very optimistic. So when I regard the time, we are through here on stage, but I will give you the opportunity for one or two questions, if you want. So is there one? It's early in the morning, you know. But, Jeff.
Good morning, Mr. Commissioner. My name is Jeff Jarvis from City University of New York. And I'm American, as you can hear. If you add up the Leistungsschutzrecht, the Spanish link tax, the right to be forgotten decision, the EC vote on breaking up Google, to an American, it looks like a rather hostile environment to American technology companies. And you talk about having discussions with Google as the main company, and there's Facebook and Twitter as well out there. You talk about America primarily in competitive terms. So I'm wondering, as an American, how we should look forward to our technological relationship with Europe. Is this going to be a battle? Is this going to be a fight in legislation and regulation? Or are there ways that Europe is going to try to encourage more technological innovation and investment?
It's not a battle. It's a competition, and it's a partnership. It's both. Let me be quite clear. Parliaments, maybe they have the right to be a little bit fundamental. In the capital and in Brussels as well. You have your Tea Party, and we have some other fundamental decisions. But at the end, we have to be pragmatic. And it's a global competition. And I think there are so many relations between the US industries and the European industries. And maybe TTIP could be a legal framework, therefore. But it's our ambition not to be a partner with 28 divided small activities, but with one activity, and so to be on one level with the US IT sector and the US industries as a whole.
One more over there.
Yes, good morning, Eric Scherer, France Télévisions. In the US on net neutrality, the jury is still out, but Obama clearly stated for an open internet and the internet as a public good. What is your expectation to keep the internet open and to keep the net neutrality as it exists today?
In next weeks, we will discuss in the Council our Telecom Single Market Directive. It's our first Commission's proposal for European regulation. And roaming and spectrum and net neutrality are three sensitive points. Tomorrow evening, I will meet the ministers of all 28 member states for to come to balanced compromises. And no doubt, open access is key. And there can't be any discrimination. We need net neutrality. So we need a high level of access for everybody. Private users, commercial users, and so on. And the question is, what can be on top? Let me give an example. If you are driving a car and your daughter, 5 years old, is sitting in the back, downloading music, and your son, 9 years old, is playing digital games, and you need navigation and information just in time, or any digital help and support. What is more important, if there is not enough capacity in the Black Forest? I think it's a public interest that the driver has a fasted communication, has no interruption. And so maybe for some services being in a public interest, we should say they are preferred. And we need a smart wording, therefore, a smart wording, because there is a development. Nobody knows what is in 5 years' time. But again, no discrimination, and one standard guaranteed for everybody in our EU.
So I see no more question anymore. Is that correct? Then, Günther, thank you for having me here on stage. And as I know, you have to travel back to Brussels soon. Good luck. Thank you. In the name of us, thank you all.